listening to Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live, a podcast exclusively for high school sports in Arkansas. Here are your hosts, Nate Olson and Kyle Sutherland.
What's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us on episode 51 of Arkansas Prep Extra, powered by Scorebook Live. I'm Kyle Sutherland alongside Nate Olson, and we thank you, as always, for joining us. It is through, what now, 7-8 weeks. We're in week 8. I guess once you count week 0 and getting down closer to the playoffs, we've got about 3 weeks left as we wrap up what will really get started this week. We kind of did last week in week 7, where teams are starting to vie for the top playoff seedings and also the conference championships. And it's really going to get into it this week as well. Of course, we'll see some of those on our top 10 games that we'll be releasing, and we'll talk about some of them as well. But Nate, I haven't checked the weather, but it was looking like, of course, middle of this week, it's going to be really, really cold. But I think by Friday, it's going to warm back up. So I'm not exactly sure when we're going to have a actual game that we might need to have a jacket on.
Yeah, 79 degrees Friday here in Little Rock. Going to be perfect day to go to the Arkansas State Fair before we head over to the huge matchup in Saline County that we'll talk about in a little bit. So that's shaping up to be a terrific day. No school in the Bryant schools on Friday. So the Olsons are going to the fair, enjoy a little ride action. I won't be, but the boys, and then a little food. I will be partaking in that. And then out to Everett Field we go for the big matchup.
Yeah, of course, I'll be out there as well with 103.7 The Buzz. But I think we were deciding on, since the girls are out of school, we were deciding on either the fair or the pumpkin patch. And we hadn't been to the pumpkin patch yet, so I think we're going to end up doing that. And hopefully it's not going to be too crowded. It's going to be warm. It seems like every time we go, it's extremely warm, whether it be in the late 70s or the high 70s or low 80s. But, yeah, it was kind of what we got down to and figured, hey, it's instead of going on a Sunday when it's super packed, we might as well go on a Friday instead. But, yeah, we'll go ahead and get right into Class 7A, as we always do. Top-ranked Bryant, they got Little Rock Southwest. Of course, the last 2 weeks they've had Central and Little Rock Southwest cruise through both of those victories. They beat the Griffins 35-8. Number 2, Cabot, 49-13 over Little Rock Central. Bentonville West, 41-28 over Springdale Harbor. Conway gets back to the team that we have seen them be pretty much all season, both offensively and defensively, 63-30 over Fort Smith Northside. And then Rogers shuts out Springdale, coming off of the Mounties, coming off of their first loss of the season from last week, and get the 37-0 win over Springdale. And then the big one from last week, Bentonville, 31-30 in overtime over Fayetteville. They get the revenge from last year when they lost to their arch rival, the Purple Dogs. And I believe, Nate, that this one pretty much – you look at Fayetteville, first of all, and their three losses, they've lost by a total of 5 points. They lost by to Cabot in week 0 by 3. They lost in that the last, what was it, 14 seconds or so to Rogers on that field goal. And then the Tigers, I believe, went for it and went for 2 with about 8 seconds left in the game, something like that, and ended up winning 31-30. So just an absolutely tough – I mean, it's been a good season for Fayetteville overall, but been a tough stretch, at least in terms of their losses. I think if it were me as a former player, I think I would almost rather get blown out than some of the ways that they have lost these games. And, you know, it's not that they weren't right there. They could easily be undefeated, but they just came up short. And so, you know, you can't really fault them. They're still going to be pretty highly ranked considering their record just based on the way that they've played this year and their wins especially, but, of course, the close losses. But what a big statement for Bentonville. They really needed this win. They haven't really had – they've taken care of business over the last month, but the Tigers had not really had that statement win, and they got it over Fayetteville.
Yeah, this was a really good game. I was able to watch. So, you know, we do the Friday night scoreboard show, Rick Snelson and I, for about an hour leading the show. That's what I do, is try to put on one of the better games and watch it or listen to it. And so I was listening to watching the Bentonville feed, and the commentators were not happy with a call on fourth down, fourth and 10, a pass interference call that was in Fayetteville territory that extended the drive. And
That if that had been called an incomplete pass, the game would have basically been over. Fayetteville takes advantage, but they cannot get a touchdown. They have to settle for a field goal, which ties the game. And then in overtime, Fayetteville scores, and then Bentonville scores immediately on a Josh Ficklin run, dials up a two-point play where Carter Nye rolls out to his right and found C.J. Brown open underneath and just inside the end zone, kind of in the middle underneath everybody, and a nice throw and catch on the run there. So big win for Bentonville. The call was, you know, that I don't know if that was the right call, and I was close, but to be able to, the key there is, okay, you can't control what the call was, but you can make sure that they don't take the lead. You know, that's the big thing. I mean, you go to overtime, okay, and they made them kick a field goal and they made it, but that was great defense there to limit them. You get a little bit down because you did, the game would have been over, but you persevere. It goes into overtime. They score first. You come back, and, you know, Jody Grant was not going to let this, you know, go back and forth, you know. Drake Lindsay and company, it could have gone all night. It's like, we're going to – right here, we're going to try to end the ball game. So, great call by him, and they dial up a nice call. Carter Nye rolls to his right. Buys a little time, and Brown, lo and behold, was kind of underneath the coverage there, slipped in there, and he threw a bullet in there to him. And that's a huge win. And they now control their own destiny. They've got a couple tough games coming up, but they're undefeated in the league, and they have, you know, everything is lined up for them to win it now. And that was big. And Fayetteville, you don't count them out. I think they can match up with anybody in the state. They lose to Cabot on the final seconds. They lose to Bentonville in overtime, lose to Rogers in the final seconds. I mean, I think they're one of the better teams in 7A. It's just, you've lost a couple tough ones there, but I would not want to see Drake Lindsay calling on me in the playoffs.
No, not at all. And Bentonville, you definitely can't. Like you talked about with Jody Grant going for two there, you can't blame him because there were 700 combined passing yards in this game. Now, Bentonville defense, their front seven did a great job of against the run. They held Fayetteville to negative 18 yards rushing. So Drake Lindsay did his thing once again. And it is a little alarming that that against Conway and against Fayetteville, the amount of yards that they gave up passing Bentonville, of course. But when you think about playing Donovan Amolo and Drake Lindsay, two of the better quarterbacks in the state, it makes you feel a little bit better. And overall, really, you could do no wrong besides that. And even special teams was really good for Bentonville as well. I want to give a shout-out to Logan Timeson. He's probably the best kicker in the state outside of Kyle Ferry. I think, actually, Coles has him as the number two kicker in the state as well. But he was 3 of 3 on field goals, hitting from 32, 25, and 41, and then 2 of 2 on point after on extra points, 2 touchbacks, and then he had 3 punts, allowing 45 yards each. So really good game there from Logan Timeson. Just really played a complete game for the most part. Did Bentonville and Carter Nye and all those guys. Josh Ficklin, who, of course, is committed to Illinois State, had another big game. So certainly got to tip your hat there. And yes, they are 5-0 is Bentonville. And the 7A West, even though that they are, you know, the top team right now, it's still – I don't know that we've seen the last of the craziness of the 7A West, because one of the top matchups this week, along with – in Class 7A, one of the top ones along with Bryant and Cabot, is Rogers and Bentonville. So – I believe Rogers actually goes to Bentonville, so the Tigers get another good one there. And then really after that, I can't remember who Bentonville has week 9, but then they finish off with Bentonville West. So they've still got a lot of work to do, but, yep, they do control their own destiny. And certainly they got to feel good about themselves, you know, much better than at this time last year that after they had lost to Fayetteville, even though they still had plenty to play for then too. But definitely the top two matchups in Class 7A this week are Rogers at Bentonville and then, of course, Cabot and Bryant. But Nate, I really don't know that there's going to be a bigger matchup than that. As it kind of just depends, you know, like how everything goes. Of course, if Cabot does beat Bryant, that's really going to make the Conway and Bryant game still pretty big, because it's looking like that could be for second place. Who in the world thought that would happen if Cabot, of course, wins out? But the way that Cabot's playing, you know, we weren't really sure what they were going to do against Conway, but they came out and held them to just 20 points. But yeah, I don't think that anybody saw that the Conway Bryant game. Everybody was thinking that that was going to be the premier matchup of the year. And even though that it still is looking really good, and there's going to be plenty to play for in that game. This one, I'll tell you, if Cabot comes into Bryant this week and not only ends that 47 game win streak, which I know that part is not on the minds really of anybody, Bryant included. But if Cabot comes in there this week and they do beat the Hornets on their home turf, obviously they're going to be in sole possession of first place, but that's definitely going to be something especially to watch for in week 10 as Conway comes to Bryant.
Huge game. And I think the thing that stood out about Cabot that was different from last year is they've come ready to play in these big games. Fayetteville week one, ready to play. Game goes down to the end, they win it. Bentonville West, ready to play, blew them out. Conway, ready to play, leads the whole game. Conway was hotter than a pistol. Offensively, they get him to turn the ball over. So that's the key this week. But a lot like Bentonville West, you know, you've got to be on the road this time. I'm gonna just say I think this is going to be an extremely hostile environment. I think – it's homecoming for Bryant. This is going to be a huge crowd. It's one of the few crowds or few opportunities in the last 3 years where masks aren't going to be, you know, needed. You're not going to have to social distance. I mean, that's limited some of the crowds. I know there was a big one, you know, when Deion Sanders' team came from Texas, but even that I think would have been more, and people would have been trying to get in there that couldn't, if there hadn't been COVID restrictions. So they're going to be hanging from the trees on Friday night there. And it's going to be extremely critical for Cabot to come out immediately like they have, like they've done all year. Like they, you know, start off big and hopefully, you know, for them, you know, make Bryant turn it over. And they've got a sophomore quarterback who is good, but hasn't, you know, each big game that he plays in is probably the biggest. And so you've got that going for you. But I think, Brian, I'm going to say that they're going to play the best game of the year on Friday night. I don't think they played all four quarters yet. I don't think their defense has played as good as they can play. That was a defense that I thought was going to be one of the best in the South. I think they show up big time Friday night, all four quarters. They're jacked up with the crowd, and I think that's what's going to push them to this win. I think we're going to talk next week about how they play the best game of the year. They're going to be super prepared, ready for what Cabot's going to bring to the table, and have a few wrinkles for Cabot. And these big games that Bryant's played in, and all these big ones, they've done something different to kind of play some cat and mouse with the opponent. I look for that again and look for them to throw some things at Abe Owen that he hasn't seen this year. So they've got a tremendous coaching staff. Buck James is not the only great coach on that staff. And Kirk Bach could be a head coach. He's an offensive guru, and they've got great defensive coaches. So I think this is going to be a great one. And I think it's one that Bryant's going to have to fight for, but I think they're going to win it in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Kirk Bach won the High School Broyles Award in 2020, I believe it was, and then Quad Sanders just won it, I guess, this year. Yeah, because it was Mark Kelly from Conway that won it in 21. So, yeah, Quad Sanders, now the defensive coordinator at Bryant. So that's two on staff for the Bryant Hornets that you just to kind of go back to your point about great coaching. That's two High School Broyles Award winners that they have on staff. And then you look at the other side, and you've got Scott Reed, four-time state champion head coach from the dynasty that he built at El Dorado. So definitely going to be some great chess matches there on both sides of the ball. And I agree with you. I think that, I mean, Cabot's already played some great complete games, but I think that Bryant finally does. I don't know who's going to come out on top, but I do think this is going to be the first time this season that we've seen Bryant really play. They played a pretty good Salt Bowl for the most part, but really, yeah, especially in conference play the first game, other than the past 2 weeks when they just were they completely overmatched their previous two opponents. You know, nothing against Central or Little Rock Southwest, but the talent gap there is pretty big between Bryant and those two teams. So going down to Class 6A, El Dorado notches a 37-6 win over Sheridan. They are still in the playoff picture, are the defending state champions. Pulaski Academy 69-26 over Van Buren. Little Rock Christian 62-7 over Siloam Springs. Marion inches past West Memphis 16-12. Catholic continues to win. Nate, I've seen two things. I've seen either this, because right around the time that they started 5-0, whenever they played West Memphis, we knew that it was probably around the 1980s, the mid-1980s, when Catholic had won two straight state titles, the last time that they had that kind of start. From what I've gathered, this is the best start at 7-0 since 1984, when I think that was when they won their first of two state titles. But I've also seen 1990. So Coach Fogelman and I are actually, we've been texting back and forth a little bit here and there trying to figure that out. But either way, it looks like they have tied their best start in school history here at 7-0 after they beat Sylvan Hills 24-14. And then Greenwood shuts out Lake Hamilton 24-0. They held the Wolves to less than 200 total yards. Of course, the Wolves were 7-0 coming into this game. And, Nate, this is a stat that I don't know that many were paying attention to coming into this. The Bulldogs have now won the last two meetings 59-0. Now, you remember last year, right around the time that they played Lake Hamilton, or that Lake Hamilton played Greenwood, whatever, that was kind of like the start of the downward turn for Lake Hamilton, when they had lost three out of four games. And they got shut out 35-0. They just got shut out 24-0 by Greenwood on Friday. Just a really, really tough night for the Wolves after pretty much everything had gone right for them at this point.
Yeah, that was a shocking score. And I think Greenwood, sorry, they're now, I think it's 53 straight at home, 52 or three. But big time win for them. And I'm not ready to say that Lake Hamilton's on a swoon yet or anything like that. It happened a little bit last year. I just think they ran into a little bit of a buzzsaw. Playing them at Greenwood is tough. They're going to have to bounce back. I think they have the week off this week, and then they start the last couple games. So, but yeah, hats off to Greenwood. Greenwood is a really good team. A lot of people think Pulaski Academy is better. We'll find out October 29th when PA comes to Greenwood.
Yeah, I'm actually really – we're not sold on it yet, but we are talking about taking the Buzz Truck up there for that game. It's definitely been in the conversation. I don't know that we're going to make that long of a trip, but we are definitely talking about it, just because, I mean, that's going to be an absolute slobber knocker. And I'm with you. I don't think that Lake Hamilton's going to have the kind of season that they had last year, when it was, you know, started 8-0 and then just really fell apart there at the end. They did get a first-round playoff win over West Memphis in that span. That was one of the three games out of the four that they had just really fallen apart, I think was the right word, that happened to them last year. But I don't think that's going to happen again. You look at that senior class that's there with Justin Crutchmer and all those guys, and especially with Easton Hurley. I know that not just the air attack was shut down last week. Of course, the ground attack that had been so great with Crutchmer and Kendrick Martin, I mean, they just really couldn't do anything. But we said a few different times, regardless of what sport it is, sometimes you take one on the chin like this, and it could be the best thing that's ever happened to you. We've seen that plenty of times, that where a team might be rolling, they run into a brick wall, for lack of a better term. But I think that it's still right there up at the top. You can't count Little Rock Christian out. And if they end up, let's say that Little Rock Christian ends up getting the four seed in the playoffs, I think that's going to be one of the better, whether it be the fourth or fifth seed, whatever it may be. I think they're going to be one of the better four seeds, just because of how deep this conference is. We've talked about it every single week. And one other team that's kind of sneaking up in there too is Russellville. They're right there in the mix of things in the top half. But yeah, it's pretty much right now, it's looking like Greenwood and Pulaski Academy. It really not shocking. That's pretty much what we thought, that if you look at the top two coming into this year in the preseason, it was looking like it would probably be those two teams, not just because of their history, but because of the players that they had, what they had coming back, and what, especially with Kel Busby, we knew that he was going to be taking over for a great quarterback in Charlie Fizer, but we also saw some things that he could do over the summer. We saw some things that in mop-up duty from him last year, the way that he could run the offense. But also, too, with Greenwood, Hunter Houston, I mean, they've got like about the best quarterback situation that you could think of. I think many thought that this was going to be possibly some drama when you look at the whole Kane Archer thing, and then Hunter Houston being a senior coming off of injuries. But it's worked out well, especially when you look at the Fort Smith Northside game. It really couldn't have worked out much better for them so far. And the Bulldogs are really just clicking on all cylinders. I mean, their only loss is to one of the top teams. I'd probably say maybe the best team in Oklahoma outside of Bigsby and Stillwater that they lost to. And I believe that was either week zero or week one. So some of the top games this week for Class 6A, you've got Benton going to Searcy. These are basically just our teams that we have in the rankings. Greenwood goes to Russellville. Catholic is at winless Jacksonville. Van Buren goes to Little Rock Christian. And then Greenbrier heads to Pulaski Academy. Down in Class 5A, Prairie Grove, who is quietly 6-1 right now, 50-27 over Dardanelle. Harrison, really big over Alma, 63-27. Robinson was tied 10-10 at halftime, but then they run away with it 37-16 over BB. Farmington continues to roll with Sam Wells at quarterback, 70-14 over Clarksville. Shiloh Christian, 52-10 over P. Ridge. Parkview 40-7 over Arkansas High. And let's see here, Pine Bluff, 32-16 over Whitehall. Nettleton survives Southside Batesville, 13-12. Valley View, 42-7 over Brooklyn. I got to give a shout out to Carson Turley. He had kind of a flu game of sorts. Their quarterback, he wasn't feeling very well. He completed 16 of 16 passes. He was 100% on the night. Had over 300 total yards of offense. I think he had around 3 or 4 total touchdowns. So a big game there for Carson Turley. And then Camden Fairview, 49-0 over a struggling DeQueen team. Let's see, Wynn, 23-10 over Batesville. Got a lot of big ones in this one. And then Hot Springs, 41-35 over Magnolia. Nate, I got to say this about Hot Springs. I think that they really began to they've taken notice, especially with how they've looked so far this year, falling only to Arkadelphia, who is in our rankings, and then also falling to, who was the other team, Parkview, whom they played very, very close. But Daryl Burnett mentioned to me, I was doing the preview earlier with him this summer, that this was really the focus of their team this year, was to get over the hump, and because they've gotten to the playoffs, but they can't get past that first round. And he's really helped that team come from a lot of struggles. I believe they just had one win his first year there. But Daryl Burnett and co. have done a really good job at Hot Springs, and they got a really big win against Magnolia, and they're looking really good right now.
Yeah, Burnett, a Buck James disciple, guy that helped engineer some runs in Bryant before he went down there. And he's found some talent. Their quarterback, very good. It's threw for like 8 touchdowns a couple weeks ago. Was that right?
Yeah. Matt Contreras had like 8 touchdowns. Octavius Rhodes had 5, I think, 5 receiving touchdowns.
Yeah, thank you. So he has got some things going on there. And you know, that's how you build a program. First, you got to win a few games and then get to the playoffs and then win a playoff game and go from there. And I think they've definitely have a chance to do that this year, to get past the first round. But he's doing everything right there. He's doing everything right. He's getting everybody to buy in. It's like what Buck did at Bryan, you know, but the program was in better shape here, but they were having trouble getting over that hump of beating 7A West teams and making a run. And he made it happen. And now Burnett trying to do the same thing there, but there is a lot of talent there. He's found it, shaped it a little bit, molded it, and now looking to make a run. And you know, you've got to note too that Arkadelphia, that was at the last second.
Yeah.
And you know, they almost had that game won. And Arkadelphia, in some overall polls, is in the top 10. So I mean, there's some pundits around here that think highly of them, even though they're a 4A program. So that was not a bad loss, that loss. So and it almost was a win. And it's probably one of those things too, where maybe they played them right now, they'd beat them, because that was kind of it earlier in the year when they were finding themselves and trying to make this run. So hats off to them. And it'll be interesting to see how they finish out the year and if they can indeed make a bit of a run in the playoffs.
Yeah, and they were either down by a touchdown or up by a touchdown against Parkview. It was a Thursday night game, and they dropped 3 or 4 touchdowns in that game, did Hot Springs, and just kind of shot themselves in the foot a few times. So, yeah, and they're even in their 2 losses, they've been right there. But, Magnolia, I'll tell you, they started off 5-0, and they've lost their last 2. So that's going to be a big one this week with Parkview and them. But the South standings, really interesting, because you've got Camden Fairview and Parkview currently sitting at 4-0, and then Hot Springs at 3-1. and Magnolia at 2-2. But I think that big one is going to be Hot Springs and Camden Fairview. That's assuming that both of them take care of business this week, which I do expect that to happen. But if they do that, then that's going to be a big matchup in week 9 there on Hot Springs' home field. And then, so we talked at length last week about the East and all the madness that was ensuing there. Some of that did take care of itself with, as I mentioned, with Wynn beating Batesville 23-10. That one was pretty close at halftime, but then just Wynn, they played their game with strong defense and a devastating ground game, and they were able to pull away from the Pioneers. So that was one game that sort of took care of itself in a way, and then Nettleton getting the 13-12 win over Southside Batesville. So currently you've got Valley View sitting at 4-0, and then Nettleton win in Batesville. I don't have their record right here. I forgot to type it down, but I believe that they're both 3-1. So still a little bit of madness there up in there. But, hey, I'll tell you what, Valley View has really impressed. I think that many were high on them coming into the year, but I don't know that they saw them 4-0 in conference with three games remaining here. So certainly a great job there by the Blazers with what they've been able to do. But the 5A East is definitely, I think, extremely – because, I mean, even with – when you think about Batesville, Wynn, and Nettleton – sitting there, I think Southside Batesville is a quality team as well. It's a much deeper conference than I thought that when coming in. I think many probably had that really Nettleton, Valley View in there probably as well, but Nettleton and Wynn would probably be the teams that would make any noise out of that conference. But I've done really well for the most part. But really, all eyes are going to be on this week, or many eyes at least, especially around Central Arkansas, will be at Robinson heading to Little Rock Mills, undefeated Mills. That should be the 5A Central Championship right there. But, Nate, I'll tell you, with Noah Freeman out and also Robinson dealing with some other injuries, it's very likely. I mean, not that Robinson doesn't have anybody else. They've got plenty of other athletes. When you think about Quentin Murphy, Brandon Grill, so many others. But Noah Freeman has been such a big part of what Robinson has done this year. He was averaging 12 yards per carry and about probably 2 or 3 touchdowns a game before he went down.
Well, the Robinson fans aren't going to like to hear this, but I kind of feel like they need Freeman in this game to beat Mills. I think that this Mills team, a lot of people have slept on them all year long. Cortez Lee, I've known him since he was an all-timer. Guy is a great coach. He's learned from the best. He coached on Bobby Bowling's staff at Whitehall and then was at Mills. He's been all over. I think he coached for George Shelton, too.
Yes.
At Dalloway, if I'm not mistaken. And that's where he grew up, was Dalloway. So played for Lee Harbin. Great guy, great coach. They have a great mix of talent on that team. And Jabre Shaw made the SB Live National All-Defensive List. He's one of the leaders in the nation in interceptions, taking a few back for touchdowns. And so this is a game that I feel like they could really use Freeman in, because – I think this is going to be a real shootout type game where offense is going to, you know, you've got some good defensive players, but I think there's going to be some points scored. I think Mills is going to put up some points. They're potent. And I think that they could really use it. Not that they won't win the game, but they have not played great the last couple of weeks. You know, Todd Escola going into last week's game was not happy with the play against Mamel, and then last week they didn't lead them. It was tied at halftime with BB, and then a strong effort in the second half. But they're going to have to play 4 quarters to beat Mills, I feel like. And I think playing at Mills, this is a fan base that is energized. They've gotten behind their group. This is what could have happened last year, probably, had Jabre Shaw hadn't got hurt. And he's showing why. You know, he's one of the best players in the state. He's making a push for player of the year, defensive player of the year. I mean, we're going to have to consider him for a couple different awards probably, Kyle. And this is the kind of game where a player like him could really shine in, and we could be talking next week about how he made a big play down the stretch to help him win. I mean, that's why you want Freeman in this game, because 12 yards per carry – he's a touchdown waiting to happen, and you can't worry about it now. I mean, you've got to move on, but I would really have liked to seen these teams play at full strength. I think Robinson does have a ton of talent, and I think Quentin Murphy now as a sophomore has to be playing more like a junior. He's a big-time player. He has Power 5 offers. This is the kind of game where he probably needs to throw the football a little bit more. He only had 90 yards passing, I think, the other night. So open it up a little bit, and along with his running ability, making some plays and trying to push his team into a, you know, a big win and maybe a conference championship.
Yeah, and I'll be the first to say that I've been called out for it, that I certainly have slept on this team a little bit too much. And a big reason why I've kind of been like that is just because I do remember you mentioned about how when Jabray went down, that the team just, I think they lost, what was it, 5 of their last 6. So it just shows how key that he is. And we're going to see how truly – last week they played a quality BB team, Robinson did. And again, you know, it was tied at 10 at halftime, and then they ended up running away with it. But how is their running game? Last week they had a running game by committee. They had like 4 or 5 guys that carried the ball. Primarily it was Greer, Murphy, and one other one that his name slips my mind right now. But I really do think that this Mills team is for real. They've pretty much convinced me at this point. And that was just really what I wanted to see in the second half of the season. How were they going to be? Were they going to be able to keep it up? Because last year they started 5-0 as well. And again, the injuries began to pile up and started playing inconsistently. But like you said, Cortez Lee has done a fantastic job. These guys are playing great. I think they, even without Noah Freeman, they still have a chance to make a big statement, especially with the fact that the 5A Central title's on the line. So this is definitely going to be one of the premier. Yeah, I know that most eyes are going to be on Bryant and Cabot this week in Central Arkansas, but this is certainly a premier matchup that really deserves a ton of credit. So that, along with some of the other top games in Class 5A, Prairie Grove is going to go to Alma. Parkview, as I mentioned, will head to Magnolia. Southside Batesville is at Valley View. Then Hot Springs, who is now 24th in our Power 25, will head down to Arkansas High. Farmington will be at Shiloh in a top 20 matchup there for the Power 25 rankings. And likely that one will be, of course, Prairie Grove might have something to say about this, but that one could be for the 5A West Championship. Of course, Farmington really needs to get that big win over Shiloh for them to stay in the mix, since they do have that loss to Harrison earlier on this season. And then down to 4A, Pocahontas big over Truman, 48-6. Arkadelphia comes off the bye week and crushes Waldron, 56-6. Warren, 47-20 over DeWitt. Nashville, 28-20 over Ashdown. I don't know that a lot of people saw that coming. Ashdown's now lost 2 in a row. And then some of the big ones, Nate, that we'll talk about here. Gosnell, 26-20 over Blyville. Currently in a 3-way tie with Rivercrest is Gosnell. Gosnell and Blyville. They have, let's see, what was I going to say? Rivercrest, I'm trying to make sure that I say this right so that way I don't get tongue-tied here. So with Blyville, Rivercrest, and Gosnell currently in the 3-way tie, if Gosnell beats Rivercrest, they will take the lead for the second place spot, I believe is how that goes. But the 5A East is a complete just madness right now, but so is the 4A3, the conference right below them in that same area. Blyville has been a much improved team this year. They're running the ball really well. Gosnell has that one loss to Pocahontas that really kind of seems like the top team. I mean, they are the top team in the standings right now, but it seems like Pocahontas has kind of separated itself from the rest of the pack. But Gosnell, Blyville, and even Rivercrest sitting there at 4-3, they've still got an opportunity. So some big things can happen there in the 4A3 this week. But also Ozark, they absolutely handed it over across the state in the 4A1. They handed it to Gentry, 63-34. The Hillbillies were 2-2 in mid-September. They've now won 4 conference games in a row, and if they beat Elkins this week, they'll have the top spot in the 4A1. So some big-time headlines there on both corners of the state there in the Northeast and the Northwest.
Yeah, that was a big one. I did not see that coming in because Gentry had been rolling. So, yeah, big win by them. Massengill, the running back, had a good game. He was – you can vote for him for Athlete of the Week. When you listen to this, he's a candidate. So, yeah, good football being played there. And the Blyville-Gosnell game, that sounded interesting too. At one point, they were going to limit the crowd there because there had been some issues. But I think they ended up opening it up and were expecting a good crowd there.
Yeah, and then I think that also, too, that's going to be one of our top games of the week, the Rivercrest and Gosnell game. So Gosnell has a chance to get 2 big wins in a row. So and then also too, I wanted to point out Harding Academy. They came off a bye this week, but I'll say that their big win over Blyville, over Valley View, I'm talking about what Valley View is doing in the 5A East right now. That just makes Harding Academy's schedule even tougher. Last year, I can't remember if it was last year or the year before that Harding Academy played Valley View and they lost like 31-30. So
that was the year before they beat them this year.
Okay. Well, so it was 2021 that they lost 31-30. I couldn't remember if that was 20 or not, but that's making Harding Academy's schedule look even better. Of course, they've got a win over Stuttgart. They've got a hard-fought win over Lone Oak. Heck, even Bald Knob pushed them pretty hard. But that's making the Wildcat schedule look even better. And then also Malvern notched a 47-14 win over Mena. Another big game for Jalen Dupree. I believe it was five touchdowns that he had. So that's 15 in the last three games that Jalen Dupree. I mean, he's just been player of the week multiple times this year. So having a great season there. And Malvern, I think everybody is looking forward to that big Week 10 matchup at their stadium at David Alpey Field against Arkadelphia. So speaking of Arkadelphia, they head to Ashdown this week, and then Ozark has the big game with Elkins. Lincoln also staying in the 4A1. Lincoln is at Gentry as Gentry tries to rebound from the loss to Ozark. Warren is at Monticello, and then Riverview heads to Harding Academy, who's, I believe they're current, I don't have it right in front of me, I think they're currently number 22. Is Harding Academy in our Power 25. So down to 3A, Centerpoint stays undefeated, beating Jesseville. My smart self did not put right that score down. I think I've actually got 3A pulled up, so, well, no, I don't have it right here. Charleston beats Hackett 57-0. Falk edges Gurdon, and somewhat of a controversial game, 20-19. Greenland hands it Lavaca its first loss, 29-28. There's been a lot of close matchups in the 3A1 this year. Melbourne stays unbeaten, beating Perryville 58-20. Melbourne is now one of four teams in Class 3A that is undefeated. Prescott wins the defensive battle over Homer, Louisiana, 9-0. I believe that one was actually 2-0 at halftime. And then in the 71st meeting, Ryzen survives Fordyce 37-24 in the final seconds. This one was, of course, much closer than the score indicates. Basically, it was tied at 24, and it was looking like that we were going to be going to overtime, Nate, and I was not extremely thrilled about that because, of course, I have to type up the how they fared. We had to get back to Little Rock from Fordyce, then I had to drive back down to Benton, so I was really hoping that this was not going to go into overtime, but Ryzen scored with 1.1 seconds remaining and made it 30-24. And then on the ensuing kickoff with 1.1 seconds left, of course, Fordyce is doing a bunch of laterals, trying to get the ball to whoever's open. And Travion Wright, he's a running back linebacker, running back defensive back for Ryzen. He intercepted the lateral on the ensuing kickoff and took it for a score. And, I'm not going to go into details, but I will say this young man has dealt with a lot of stuff. These two towns, I'm sure many of you heard about the things that were going on leading up to this week. It was just a lot of unfortunate events. So on top of the rivalry, there was a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that had people concerned. And you could tell, Nate, not as many as you have, but I've done a lot of post-game interviews. I've done a lot of halftime and post-game interviews. And, Coach Toddy, this game means a lot to him, not only because he's been at Ryzen for – what is it, over 25 years at this point as the head coach. So he's been involved in a lot of these games, but he played for Fordyce. His dad played for Fordyce and took part in these games. He also coached for Fordyce back in the early 90s, back in the mid 90s. So he's been involved in a lot of these rise, and he's probably been involved in many and more than he hasn't in terms of the 71st meetings that I would say he's probably around the 35 range at this point. So either way, it was obviously very emotional for him, and he was choked up there at the end when I was interviewing him on the Buzz with his family right there. It was a really cool moment. His mom, his daughter, his brother, all of them came up. So, and I got to say this too, with all that these towns have endured, they obviously, some parts of the towns have an animosity towards each other, but that was one thing that Coach Toddy and I had talked about all last week is, back in the day, this was a very friendly rivalry. They rooted for each other when they weren't playing each other. It's not necessarily like that anymore. It hasn't been for the past decade, but I saw a lot of rise in players. There was Fordyce guys that were, on the ground, extremely upset at the result, as you can understand. But I saw a lot of Ryzen players go over there and pick them up, and it was very classy by both sides the way that they both handled this.
Yeah, this is a rivalry that, unfortunately, I've never been to, but I've helped cover and pregame. I mean, I didn't think I could read the scores at halftime, and get back here in time. Probably couldn't have. But that is, it's a huge rivalry. You did a good job of putting that in a nutshell about the history. It is so historical. And I've, you know, a lot is made about Benton and Bryant, and rightfully so. It has become a spectacle, and it's something that's helped both schools, both towns. It's been great for Arkansas high school football. But you want to talk about a rivalry, a bitter rivalry, it checks all the boxes, and it's been competitive too. And Rising does own the competitive. Both teams have won state championships and are storied programs. And then they meet, and they met Friday night with a conference title, you know, looming there. It's awesome. I mean, it is awesome. And they used to start that game at 8 o'clock on the season opener to avoid the heat. So it was like, that was kind of an odd thing too, you know, 8 o'clock start when everybody else started at 7 or 7:30. So hats off to them. And Clay Toddy, first of all, Tim Rogers is a terrific human being too, the Fordyce coach. But Clay Toddy, I mean, I'm always going to have a soft spot in my heart for him because, you know, coming to Pine Bluff in 2001, they had beaten Shiloh Christian, I guess, the year before. And I covered a lot of their games and some playoff games too when I first got there. And, I mean, you talk about a hospitable, proper, great person to deal with. I mean, they roll out the red carpet for you. He's just, that whole town is great. And he is an ambassador. He's a terrific guy, got a great story. And so, you know, I feel good for them when they're doing well, because he's one of those guys that not only is he coaching football, but he's molding young people, and he cares so much about it. And he's had opportunities to go other places, but Rising Arkansas and that part of the state just runs in his blood, and he really wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Yeah, no, I couldn't have said it better. And we were talking about when I was getting some stuff from him for the game and for the article that I wrote. I mean, we just talked pretty much all day from, you know, just whether it be about history of football with Rising, with Fordyce. Got a chance to really talk to him all day last Monday and one way or another via texting or phone call. And just, an upstanding guy. Just a straight old – him and Tim Rogers both just straight up good old boys. I mean, they've been at their respective schools for a long time. I didn't know this, but Coach Rogers has been at Fordyce in some capacity since 1985. He, of course, was an assistant. I guess him and Clay were assistants together under Jim Cox there. And shoot, I guess too. I didn't even think about this, that Tim. I didn't know this until Friday night, actually. I guess Tim coached Clay because Clay played there from 84 to 86, I think it was, somewhere in that range. And so Tim was there at the same time too. So definitely a good bit of crossover. And there's a lot of crossovers in that. That's kind of like was the moral of the article, as you know, was just especially with Red Parker. Always living in Texas for 3 years, I always say Red McCombs, but I said it right this time. Red Parker, with being from Rising and coaching a few stints at Fordyce, coming back to coach at Rising and won a state title there in 1995. There's all kinds of stories like that, but I guess that's what you get in small towns. So yeah, definitely a great game, a great ending the way. Yeah, I know that, you know, it was tough for Fordyce fans as far as the final result goes, but nonetheless, it was a great night of football and great to see those two communities come together. Some of the top games in 3A this week, speaking of Fordyce, they go to Camden Harmony Grove. Lake Village, Lakeside is at Rising. Lakeside quietly 3-3 this year, having a pretty good year, definitely better. They've been a program that struggled a good bit over X amount of years and have quietly put together a pretty decent season this year, has Lake Village. Quitman is at Perryville. Lavaca is at Mansfield. Newport heads to Melbourne. Walnut Ridge is at Osceola, Smackover heads to Prescott, and Charleston is at Boonville. That should ultimately decide the 3A1 if everything goes to plan. And then last but not least, in Class 2A, Carlisle shuts out Hampton 47-0. I believe that's the Bison. That might be their third shutout of the year. Clarendon 34-22 over Desark. Conway Christian shuts out Johnson County Westside 42-0. Dirks 48-22 over Foreman. Earl hands East Poinsett County its first loss 32-26. Episcopal over England 33-22. Mark Tree 22-12 over McCrory, and then Mount Ida 49 14 over Murfreesboro. Nate, there's there is some pretty big games this week when you think and just kind of deciding some various spots in the conferences. You've got Dirks at Poen. Dirks, of course, in first place. Poen trying to stay up in that top half. Episcopal is going to be at Hazen. That's a good game, at least in terms of conference standings. It seems like that Hazen just really hasn't been challenged so far in Class 2A this year, and you really don't know that they're going to be until Week 10 when they play Carlisle, but that's one that if Episcopal can somehow find a way to win, that's going to keep them at the top of their conference. Mineral Springs at Mount Ida. Mineral Springs has looked really good at times this year, but can they get over the hump and beat Mount Ida? I believe they're sitting at 5-2. And both are one of them at least is a conference loss, so they really need that. But then Carlisle's at Baptist Prep, which you expect, that one should be a pretty big win, at least a lopsided win in favor of Carlisle. But, you know, last week it was pretty much to where I was thinking that it was, I think I said Carlisle, Hazen, and EPC are pretty much those top three. But especially when you look at the 2A2 in particular, Mark Tree and Clarendon play this week, and with EPC losing, that conference is wide open. And I think Mark Tree, especially, and even Clarendon, even though that they're coming off a semifinal appearance, have kind of been slept on. So that 2A2 conference with that EPC loss is still pretty much wide open.
Yeah, that you're right, and that was a little unexpected for me. You know, we talked about EPC maybe taking that next step, but. A lot of competition. I think that it's – do you think that that league or that class, like any other or like no other, is up for grabs? Do you feel like that maybe?
Like I would say – well, because, yeah, well, the 2A3 is interesting too because, like I said, you got Dirks and Poen playing this week. If Poen wins that game, they're right up there in the mix at the top. And then Mount Ida and Mineral Springs. If Mineral Springs wins that, it's pretty much really like a four. Dirks is on the top right now, sitting at 4-0. Then Mount and the 2A3. Mount Ida's at 3-0. Poen's at 3-1. And then Mineral Springs is at 2-1. But with, again, the Dirks Poen matchup, the Mount Ida Mineral Springs matchup, who knows what could happen there. So there's still a little bit of controversy going on right there. I don't know that Desark, they started off really bad and they picked it up. I don't know that I'd put them quite in the level in the 2A2. I don't know that I'd quite put them in the level with Clarendon, East Poinsett County, and Mark Tree. But 2A2 and 2A3, definitely. And then I feel like the 2A4, whoever wins the 2A4 between Hazen and Carlisle, which is looking like that's what it's going to be, I feel like just with the way that those two teams have dominated their competition this year, both sitting at 6-0, 3-0 in the conference, that could be one of those things to where maybe the loser ends up winning state. You know, you've seen that before. Like, for instance, one example is when I was in high school, and this is going way back here, but in 2003, CAC beat PA, and then PA won the state championship that year. The next year, PA beat CAC, CAC won the state championship that year. And there's been many other cases since then, but since I lived that, I remembered it off the top of my head.
Right.
I think we could see that maybe with a Hazen and Carlisle. But again, I really like what EPC has done this year. I love them coming into this season, especially with Dennis Gaines, the way that they run the ball. But Dirks under Paul Ernest, they've really surprised me too. I don't know that their conference, of course, Mount Ida's very good. Poen's down a little bit. Mineral Springs has a dominant run game. I don't know that the 2A3 is quite as deep from top to bottom as maybe the 2A2 or maybe even the 2A4, at least when you look at the very top there, including maybe Episcopal. It's just, it's so hard to decipher right now. I really didn't expect. I mean, I know that especially with Fordyce and Junction City, Junction City's been down for a few years, but with those two powerhouses over the last few years going up to Class 3A, and then, of course, McCrory staying in 2A as the defending state champions, I know that they lost a lot. They've struggled this year. I certainly did not expect the Class 2A to be this wide open. I felt like maybe Hazen might take the cake over everybody, but again, there's somebody right there in their conference and their crosstown rival, Carlisle, that could have something to say about that.
Yeah, that's interesting perspective, and that game will be big. And is that
week 10. Carlisle and Hazen, Carlisle and Hazen are week 10.
I wish we could have spread some of these games out.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't think that we knew that because Carlisle came off. I think many saw Carlisle being improved this year. They only won one game though, so I don't know that anyone saw him being 6-0.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, their defense has been unbelievable. I think – I'm going to go back to this here. So, Carlisle this year, they've got four shutouts. They've got – they shut out Desark, they shut out Bearden, and then their most recent one over Hampton and Decatur. Now, this is not the greatest strength of schedule up to this point. You do – but that's the thing, though, too, is Hazen, I think, is kind of in the same position. But then when you looked at the – whenever they played Episcopal, I think, is and what they did to them, 48-21, Carlisle – that was when I realized, okay, this team is for real. Like, they didn't really play a whole lot of competition at first. And then you look at Hazen, they've beaten Mariana Lee. They shut out Desark. They've, let's see, beat McCrory, Hampton. So, yeah, there's not a lot of great competition to go off of here. But that's the thing, though, is the major, it's extremely top-heavy. And you see this in a lot of conferences, too, but it's very top-heavy in Class 2A across all conferences. So, I do think that that week 10 game with Carlisle and Hazen's going to be a great measuring stick. But also there, I feel, you know, of course, the 2A1, you've got Bigelow that's at the top, and then and Conway Christian has had a quietly successful season. But to me right now, if I'm just going to be a betting man, I would say, again, the 2A2, 2A3, and then Hazen and Carlisle in the 2A4. That's probably the team that I feel like is – but I say all that, and then Bigelow is going to make probably the deepest run. That's typically how it goes, it seems. But yeah, I still like Hazen probably the most out of all – just because of the off – because a lot of these teams are more so one-dimensional. They're great at running the football. But I think Hazen has that leg up in terms of passing, and that could be the difference right there.
Yeah. Yep, it could. Well – that's really interesting. I just wondered if you thought that 2A might be more open.
Oh, it's definitely more open. Yeah, it's definitely more open than I expected, and more than probably many did. So.
Yeah.
But as everything
– Go ahead. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, but as everything else, it's going to be an interesting – it always seems that Class 2A – it always seems to be the most interesting going down the stretch, because with not as many players, if you look at Hazen, they've got pretty much 8-man numbers, but they've stuck it out and they've been very successful. But you lose one or two guys, especially in Class 2A, that can derail your entire season.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's it. Well, going back to the schedule. So like week 10, you know, we schedule our games that we're going to go to, and you're doing that too. I would try to kind of do some semblance of coordination, because I would like to read the scores at your box.
Yeah.
But I haven't been able to do it too much. But week 10, you've got that game, Bryant Conway, Arkadelphia, Malvern. It's like we looked forward to week 10 since about week 5, yeah. And it would have been nice to have some. I mean, like, what's going on week 9? I'd like to take one of those games, because I haven't looked at week 9 yet.
The biggest ones in week
9. I don't know
if
there's much game.
Yeah, well, of course, you've got Greenwood, PA in week 9, and then you've also got Camden, Fairview, Hot Springs in Class 5A. Other than those two games, Benton, West Memphis is another, but West Memphis lost to Marion, so that one probably won't have as much of an impact as we thought that it would maybe a week or two ago. But pretty much the big time games in week 9 is definitely PA Greenwood. That's going to be hands down the best one across the state. And then also to Camden Fairview and Hot Springs, which we did not see that coming into the year. But then also week, I think that probably this game with Boonville and Charleston is going to really decide the 3A1. But in week 9, you've also got Charleston, Lavaca. It's going to be a big one. That's another one that I just thought of off the top of my head. So, yeah.
There's some good ones. And you mentioned the Greenwood. That's huge.
Yeah.
Hey, that game is so big. If you end up going that, you might meet one of the biggest legendary sports writers in Arkansas, one Buck Ringgold. We're pulling out the big guns.
I know that
for that game. He's going to be covering it for us. So we're going to get him out of Oklahoma for one night. He's big time now. He's covering Oklahoma, North Texas, and Louisiana. But for that one night, we got him for that one. Yeah. So I knew we needed somebody at that game. Weeks ago, I confirmed it with him. So you will be able to have Reed full coverage of that one when it's over that night. And one of the best scribes in the state will be detailing the action.
Oh yeah, there's few people, if any, that write a better game story than Buck.
Oh, Buck is top notch.
Yeah,
Have you not met him before?
No, I've met Buck. Yeah, I've only met him in person at the softball and baseball the weekend of champions.
Okay, now, you did meet him there. All right, yeah, okay.
But we've talked on the phone.
Forgotten now. About that. Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, he is as they say about a lot of people, he is a better writer or better person than he is writer. I mean, he's a great sports writer, but he's even better person. They say that about some different people in their prospective trades, but Buck's great. So we'll have that one covered like a blanket. And if you go over there, you can fight him for some press box food, because he'll be in line ready to put a plate together.
Yeah, Tim Terry's always talking about this food, all this barbecue and stuff that they
have in
Greenwood. And so I got mixed feelings. Like the 30 something year old of me, that's really, I live in pretty much a 60 year old's body, because outside of Fridays I usually go to bed pretty early. But considering, you know, like how late Friday nights usually are, and the fact that we'll have to leave super early, that part is like, we're kind of hesitant. But you think about the how much hype is going to be for this game and all that is up for grabs. It's going to be tough to decipher. Yeah, we'll focus on week 8 for now. But week 9 is going to be really tough to figure out.
I'm just going to say one more thing, and we'll talk more about it. But Smith Robinson Stadium is an awesome place. I've had a chance to be at 3 or 4 games there, and it's unforgettable. I mean, they do fireworks after touchdowns, and I mean, it's, that place will be lit. It's definitely a place you want to go if you can see a game there. I mean, like, I'm real jealous that you got to see Fordyce Rising, but that's another one that, if you haven't been, you know, yeah, you guys ought to seriously think about it, because it'll be a cool experience.
Yeah RJ mentioned that, and it's definitely on our list. So it's pretty much made the final cut, at least. We're probably down to 3 or 4, but
okay.
So, well, that will do it for episode, what is this now, 51 of Arkansas 51. Prep Extra. Yeah, man, it's going by quick.
On the road soon. To 100.
Yeah, we're on the road to 100. And then, of course, as football season goes along, we'll continue to do this every week. And then get into basketball, which, speaking of basketball, we're starting to run our previews. We ran 1 and 2A as that starts this week. A lot of the non-football schools, and then also working on 3A this week as well. And then keep moving those out, keep pumping them out. Of course, since there's so many schools, the way that we're going to do it is we're going to do the top 8. That's just really, again, you know, it's not necessarily like we're ranking any schools. It's just really 8 teams that I kind of went through of maybe the state tournament teams and some of the teams in the regionals last year that I feel like, you know, can make a splash this year and have a lot coming back. But we'll have those along with player list on the way, and then we'll have our Power 25 back for the boys and girls once we get into conference play. And then also, too, don't forget about volleyball coverage. That season's winding down. Be done here in the next 10 days or so. But Jeff Halpern's done a great job since preseason with those weekly rankings, and done great job on the game coverage, and just doing a great job overall of covering the entire state. We've got that on our site, and also 8-man coverage. Aaron Weatherford and Steve Knox have done a fantastic job with the podcast, and we've had, of course, our weekly recap that's done really well. So all kinds of stuff. If you go to scorebooklive.com and then just go to the Arkansas tab, you'll see it on there. So of course, you can always listen to us on that website or on Spotify. And if there's anything that we're missing, let us know at arprepextra, that's xtra@gmail.com. And for Nate Olson and all of us here at SB Live, I'm Kyle Sutherland. We will catch you next time.